Praise the Lord, huh? God is great no matter what's going on. No matter what's happening, He's great because of what He's done for us. He's a mighty God. Our scripture, our church scripture reading is Acts chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, please turn there to Acts chapter 1. If you don't have your Bible, it will be up on the TV up there, starting in Acts chapter 1, starting with verse 1 all the way to 14. Next week, we'll pick up with 15 to the end of that chapter, okay? Everyone's ready? Now, faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. So we need to hear the Word of God in our hearts and in our lives. We need to hear it with our physical ears. So you need to hear it, read it. And that doesn't mean you shout it, but you can read it. You know, make yourself listen to what you're reading, okay? Amen. Verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Verse 2. Unto the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Amen. Verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, you have heard of me. Verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. Verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? 7. And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Amen, people. Look, miraculous. Miraculous. And while they looked, verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Verse 11. Which also said, You men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Amen. Verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. Verse 13. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zealots and Judas the brother of James. Verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. My Lord, is called the Acts of the Apostles, the book of Acts. This is where we're going to pick up next week, verse 15. And we'll read the end of that chapter about the Holy Spirit being poured out upon the people. God is ready and willing to move and to do many great things upon in our lives and in the lives of all the people we know, letting God have glory, praise, and honor for who he is. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. We do want to welcome everyone here. We do want to welcome everyone that is watching and that we'll watch throughout the week. We pray the anointing and the Spirit of God to be upon you and upon them. We're going to be reading some scripture in Exodus chapter 17, verse 8 to 16. But I want to read this to you. It says this: if there's one thing that the Old Testament has, is an abundance in its battles, scenes. We might be tempted to skim these passages thinking they're just dry historical records that have no relevance for our lives today. However, God has recorded these events in His Word for our reproof, correction, and training. Embedded in these accounts, we'll find truth that can transform our lives. So don't throw away the old, because it's there for a reason. And don't throw away the new, because it's there for a reason. Amen. We need the whole transcript of the Word of God to be embedded in our hearts and lives, to change us so we can see God the way He truly is, through the Scripture, through the Spirit of God that speaks to us. Amen. I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 17, page 139, as we dive into the Scriptures. This is kind of a very, well, it's a familiar part of the Word of God. I mean, some parts are more familiar than others, you know. You take anything out of the Song of Solomon and you kind of like, most people don't know it because, you know, it's not read a lot. And that's okay to a certain point. But, you know, certain events are read more than other events. And that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. But we're going to be reading about the war that came about with the Amalekites. Look at verse 8. It says this: then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow and I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Verse 10. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Ur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Verse 12. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Ur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write these for a memorial in the book. Now let me just stop right there. Just, you know what book he's talking about? This is the beginning of our Bible. You understand? This is the beginning. Because he said, Moses, write them down. It says in the book, not just those books, in the book. And so he started to write down the events that took place. That's the beginning of our Bible. My Lord, where would we be? Just on side note from that, where would we be without the Word of God? My Lord, where would we be? What's that? Los Angeles. Yeah. Talk about, huh? That's some psychos, man. But, you know, where would we be? You know, a land without the Word of God is a desolate land. And so remember that a heart without the Word is desolate without God. We know the Spirit of God can move, and that's what we want. And we need and want the Spirit of God to move. But I tell you, we need to know that Word. We need to get it deep within our hearts and lives. There's no reason nowadays. You know, some people say, well, I can't see. Well, then now they have Bibles on Braille. I mean, you know, well, I can't hear. You know, well, they have Bibles to fit every area of our lives, to get that word in our hearts and lives. There's no reason that we shouldn't have, we shouldn't be able to get it and read it and consume it and get it, that word in us, so that faith could grow in us. You know, God has many things set for each and every one of us. God has many things set collectively as a group, okay? But we got to get that word in us to know God, who he is, to know who he is, to believe him for the things that he has set out for us. Individually as families, individually as a just a person, as a family or as a church, to believe him. You know, think of from the time you first got saved to where you are today, how your faith has grown. To believe God for things that you never thought was possible. And how your faith has grown. Sometimes we look at the negative and we think, well, I don't know if I've grown that much, you know. But I tell you what, go back to that first day of when you gave your heart to the Lord and how you were and how you are today. How God has grown in your heart. How God has grown on the inside of you. And now you're believing God for miracles, signs, and wonders that will astound you and I. That God can do what he says he can do as we put our faith in him and believe him for what he has put into action for each and every one of us. See, I can't believe God for something that he hasn't said that I can have. You see, we can believe God for the things that he says that are ours and that he says is yours. My Lord, what a God we serve. Let's get back to the word. Verse 14, and the Lord said unto Moses, write these for a memorial in the book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, our banner, my Lord. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Here we see a great battle that took place. Here we see from the time that the Israelites came out of Egypt, the Amalekites were always against the children of Israel. It says in the book of Deuteronomy that they would go as the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, and they wandered around for too many years, 40 years, in the desert, that the Amalekites would wait on at the end part of the children of Israel. And what they would do, they would attack from the end part. And they would attack the weak and the feeble. So the children of Israel were at war with the Amalekites from almost the day that they left Egypt. Even though the Israelites saw many great miracles. And look, we may be at war, and let's say just war on the inside, war with sin, war with those, and asking God to help us to overcome and do the things that he calls us to do. God will give us the strength and the power. But these Amalekites would look for the ones that were on the outskirts of the children of Israel. And they would take the weak and the feeble. The ones that weren't traveling so much with the Israelites were kind of staying back. That's why it's so important. The enemy's out there ready to destroy. It says that, you know, in John 10, that the enemy comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he has come to do. But God has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That's why we need to stay connected to a church. You need to stay connected to a pastor. You need to stay connected to a church. You might say, well, I can't see it. But spiritually, what does God see? God saw the children of Israel. And he could do whatever. But he told them what to do and to stay connected, to listen to their leaders, to listen to what he said, because God knew what was going to happen. We need to listen and let God move within our hearts and move within our souls. It says, going back to the verses, chapter 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel, full flooded. And you know what? God had enough. Sometimes we won't change the pattern of our lives till we have enough. Aren't you sick of doing the same thing over and over of sin? Don't shout me down. Of evil? God has given a way to overcome everything in our hearts and in our lives that hold us down. And it's not so much in our actions of doing, but it's in our action of putting our faith in what Jesus did. The only thing that overcame sin and evil was the cross of Calvary, what Jesus did. It is the only thing that will help us to overcome those things that so easily beset us and that so easily tie our hands and feet spiritually. As we put our faith in what Jesus did. You might say, well, how is that possible? We look to the Lord and we say, Lord, I put my faith in you, not in man or what I can do, but I put my faith in you and what you've done at Calvary's cross. He is the one that can stop the tempter from tempting you. He is the one that can stop the enemy from coming and trying to destroy you and I. He is the one. You see, God wants us to be under the shadow of him. You might say, well, what if I do that and still? But you have to understand, God is still in control. He is the one that controls things. The enemy doesn't control your life. It's God Almighty, as we put our faith and our trust in him. He controls those things. And if something comes our way, hey, we put our faith in him no matter what. Something tragic happens, we put our faith in him no matter what. No matter what. You can have two people go through the same tragedy. And what, two Christians, I'm not even talking about the word, two Christians go through the same thing. And one comes out on top saying, I trust God. One turns and goes in a different direction. You know, I was listening to, we were looking at something in a TV show, and they were talking about miscarriages. And I'm sure probably there's women in here that have miscarriages. Huh? And they were talking about just the struggle. We know how it is, Jelaine and I. Jelaine miscarried our first child a few months or so. So we know how it is, the heartbreak. It was our first, you know. And so the heartbreak, that's there. But to know that that child is in heaven, that spirit is in heaven. And I've told the Lord, I said, make sure you let him or her know that we wanted her, him or her. Let them know we wanted that child, that it just wasn't something that was to the side. And so heartache does come in life. Things happen to us. We're not immune from tragedies or whatever things happen. But we keep our faith in our God that can move, that can shield, that can help, that can do like we've never seen him do before. In this story, this is not I hate to say story in this event, because you think of a story and you think, oh, this didn't happen. This is an event that happened to the children of Israel. We look at Moses. God chose Moses to be the leader. They came out of the land. God miraculously brought them out of bondage. God has brought probably every one of you and I out of some bondage in our heart. I mean, bondage of sin, okay, but certain bondages. He brought us out of that. And he gave us new purpose, new life. He gave us life. Praise God. Gave us something to live for. Gave us something with kind of like an attitude almost. Not in. We thought, well, attitude, that's teenagers. But I think brain's going to do better than that. But just an attitude of, I'm saved. Thank you, Lord, by the mercy of Almighty God. But God chose Moses. And they were going to have to fight these people. Because God said it was time. All the other times before that, God would go and fight and destroy the enemy by himself. He would do whatever, you know, he'd do whatever. I mean, there's all kind of occasions. This time was the first time that they would have to send an army down to fight the Amalekites physically. You know, when you grow in the things of God, you know, it's like, you know, a little toddler, you know, you won't give them a $20 bill and say, go to the store and spend it. They don't know what they could care less. They might eat it, you know. Who knows? Who knows? Tear it up, eat it, whatever, you know. You don't give them, you might give them a dollar maybe, you know, at most, you know, whatever. But as we grow in the things of God, God will allow us to branch out and start doing those greater things. You know, people put a fence around their yard. That's to keep whatever in, your children, your dogs, cats. Well, a cat, I don't know, it'll jump over. But anyway, you know, in that area. But it's also to keep things out from coming in. God will widen our fence as we grow in the things of God and become more knowledgeable of the Word of God. My Lord. And God told Moses as the leader, tell Joshua to get to pick the men and go and fight. And I will go with Aaron and Ur to the mountainside or the hillside. Now, do you know Aaron was Moses' brother? And do you know that Ur, H-U-R, was Moses and Aaron's sister? Her name was Mary. That was her husband. So it was three men, and not whatever, but it was brother, brother, and brother-in-law. You might say three. They went up there like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's why you always have, you know, it says the beast are around the throne. And what are they crying out to God? Holy, holy, holy. Three times. You know why? Because there's three they're giving praise to. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're one, but yet they're three in extension. They're one, but yet three. Three different areas. My Lord. So they went up to that mountainside or hillside. And you know, Moses up there, he has his rod. And remember, the rod was given to him. He had a rod in the early part of Exodus when God called him. He had that rod. And God says, I'm going to show you who I am. He said, throw that rod down. And we have the scripture, throw it down. And when he threw it down, it became a serpent, a venomous snake. He said, now pick it up by the tail. And he picked it up. What God was trying to show him was how miraculous he can be. What God is trying to show us how miraculous he can be in our lives. We don't have to walk around like the world. We can walk around like children of the living God, believing a God that has made this earth, believing a God who can do all things, believing a God who can make all things happen, believing a God that can change situations, believing a God that can move upon the situations that we're praying about. Believing God. He's looking for faith in the land. It says his eyes look to and fro upon the earth. He's looking for faith to believe him. That means he's ready to do something in your life, in your family. Go to God continuously. Last week, keep on knocking. Keep on knocking till God changes your prayer, or he says no, or he does what you're praying about. Keep on knocking. He's looking for faith in the land. Believe him. Believe him for those things that you have been praying about. Believe him that he can do it. He's looking. That means there's a scarcity. But say, well, you know, 100 years ago, there were great revivals where the power of God moved. 50 years ago, where the power of God moved, where people were healed. You know, just an amazing thing. When they came out of Egypt, their clothes, their sandals, what they had, never wore out. Nike doesn't have shoes like that. Reebok doesn't have shoes like that. Great shoes, but not to last like that. You've had clothes, well, some you might have for 40 years. I might have something in there. Probably so. But they wore that clothes, the sandals, every day. The same clothes, basically. Few changes, but not much. That's the God we serve, people, that can make things last. He's not a loser. He's a great God. He's a great God that's wanting to move, that's wanting to do things, that's wanting to help you. Walk away. Walk with God. You might say, well, Pastor, you don't know the burden that's upon my shoulders. I understand. Look, we all have to go through burdens, and we can't, you know, but God wants us to cast it upon him. Cast it upon him. Give it to him. Let him handle those things, you know. Let him handle those things. Cast your net before him and say, Lord, handle it, you know, and go on and let God do what needs to happen in your heart and in your life. And let me tell you something. God may have you change some areas in your life. Because we want everything to be bring pleasure and honor unto him. To bring pleasure and to honor unto him because of who he is. Those three guys got to the mountain or the hill. And they look down and here Moses has his staff that he knows God can move. It's a reminder to him. That's what it is. It's a reminder that Jehovah God is in charge. He might be the leader of the children of Israel, Moses, because God chose him. He could have chose Aaron. He could have chose whoever he wanted. But God saw the heart of Moses, and there was a reason. And he held that rod in his hand, that staff, as he walked, walking up that hill, saying, God, you told us to do this. Let's get it done. It's time to eradicate this enemy. It's time to eradicate the enemy of your soul. Amen. It's time to eradicate that thing. What's holding you down, get rid of it. Those things that easily set you back, get rid of those things. I'm not saying throw it away. I don't know whatever it may be. But if it's holding you down from becoming what God wants you to be, get rid of those things and let God move. They got up as they were walking. The battle's taking place. They just, you know, can you imagine Moses saying, you know, God told him to do this. And it seems a little silly, huh? You know, it kind of seems, okay, Lord, you know, I'll take these two guys with me, my brother. They didn't speak for a long time. You know that. And God brought them back together. They got back, got up there, and the battle's raging, people. I mean, they're fighting. They're fighting. All of us, as Moses just walking, and he's looking, and he's looking, and he raises up his hand. Oh, thank you, Lord. Something happens. They start to win. You know, and hey, who can lift their hands just about all day? Some may not be able to lift it up 5 minutes. You know, I'm not trying to be barrenging at all. I'm not trying to be. It's just hard sometimes, you know, physically. Sometimes complications, you can't do it. Moses was of age. And so he, you know, that's just a quickening of the Spirit of God saying, look, every time you raise your hands, that's a lesson for us. Not so much that we have to keep our hands raised, but we got to keep an attitude of praise unto our God. That we don't look to the left to the storm or to the right to the storm of life, but we keep our eyes upon the prize, Jesus Christ. Oh, the King of Kings, the Lamb of God, where they're saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. My God, my God, my God. How much more should we praise him and honor him and let him grow on the inside of us? Oh, my Lord. He noticed and he said, oh, my Lord. And so he's so tired, they bring a rock, which is God is our rock. And he lifts up his hands, and Aaron and Ur come on the side of him. You know, Aaron was the high priest. Who is our great high priest now? Jesus Christ. Ur means light, or by the Holy Spirit, light. And here we see Moses sitting on the rock. We should have our feet planted upon the rock and have Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit with us constantly. Ooh. My God. Ooh, makes you want to shout, people. There's nothing too hard that God cannot handle. From children to marriages to government to anything, finances, God can handle those things. You stand upon the rock of your salvation and you let your hand raise as the Holy Spirit is telling you things, and you let Jesus Christ be the Lord of your life as they lift you up. They will get you through the storms of life. They will get you through the difficult times of life. And all of a sudden they look down and all of a sudden the armies of the living God is destroying the Amalekites. The Amalekites come from Amalek. Amalek is a descendant from Esau. You know who Esau is? The guy that sold his birthright for a bowl of lentil soup. That's where they come from. But God changed the circumstances. Let me tell you this. Don't ever come against the enemy unless God is on your side, people. Because let me tell you something. The enemy will destroy you. It will. He will. But I tell you what. When you stand under the spout where the glory comes out and you let God move upon that situation, God has already defeated the enemy. He doesn't believe it. He saw it, but he doesn't believe it. Because he thought he won the victory when Jesus died on Calvary's cross. They were hilarious. The demons in hell were rejoicing. My God. Till the third day. And our God, our Savior, our Lord, rose from the grave and brought victory to the church. And the church is you. Victory to the church of the living God. My Lord, what a God we serve, people. That we can sit upon that rock and we can trust him. Not knowing sometimes where maybe our next dollar may come from or what's going to happen. But God in the midst changes circumstances. It's like when the angel would go talk, and it wasn't just an ordinary angel. About this, when the angel would go and stir up the waters, that was Jesus Christ, the angel, and the first person that walked in, that was in the New Testament, and the first person that would get in that pool of Bethesda would be healed. God is stirring up. the Spirit of God upon each and every one of your lives. Listen to Him. Listen to the Holy Spirit that is leading and guiding you. Listen. You might say, well, Pastor, sometimes I look, pray and say, Lord, help me to know the voice of my God. Help me to know when the Spirit of God is working in me and through me. Help me to know your voice, Lord. And letting God move within our hearts, move within our lives. Because look, God has a lot to change in us. And we don't want to stifle it. We want God to move and do and be. Trust God. God wanted to show His people how victory didn't come from their own strength, but from trusting Him and Him alone. My Lord. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God shall stand forever. Forever. You know, Hitler burned thousands of Bibles in 1938. Trying to get rid of the Bible. And look at his demise and what happened. We'll end with this. When a difficult situation rises up in our lives, first seek the Lord before any action we think is right. Number one, seek the Lord. You might say, what do you mean seek Him? I mean, just go to Him. Just say, Lord, I don't understand. What do I do? Give me direction. Give me help. Show me what to do. And number two, rest in His sufficiency. Sufficiency is trusting that God's power, grace, and resources are enough to meet all your needs and that you don't need to strive or rely on your own strength. My Lord, the power of prayer, people, the power of prayer. I want each and every one of you to have this. Talking about praying. Angel, would you come? Brody, would you come? Thank you. And give everybody one of these. They're all the same. Some are just cards and whatever. Thank you. Give everyone. Talking about praying, people. Yeah, it's the same. It's the same. Give the cards out first. I know they're harder, maybe. Amen. That's it. God knows. This is something that has been on our back table for probably years now, huh, Miss Diane? Now, I have to say, I didn't write this. Oh, just put them up there. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Unless y'all want one like this, a different color. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you doing that. Thank you, Andrew and Brody. This is something that Miss Diana had did years ago. And it's just prayer for your pastors, Jelaine and I. I covet your prayers. I need your prayers, people. I need them. You might say, how hard is it to run? It's hard. Not, I say hard. Look, the grace of God, but you want to be led by the Spirit of God, tender-hearted towards people. You know, the enemy attacks you with all kinds. I mean, look, it's just, and so I want to say that I covet your prayers. And I am asking, Ms. Diana, you typed this up. I mean, she did it. I mean, this has been years ago, and about 6 or 7 months ago before church, I walk around and I just pray over the building, over this. And I said, oh, and I picked it up. And I said, wow. I mean, she had given me one, but I guess, God knows. And so I started just reading it about six, seven months ago. And I said, this is awesome. It's really good. I'm asking you to pray this for us every day. And I want to say it this way. I'm pleading with you, honestly. Now, you might say, you know, I'm not saying you have to do the whole thing. You might maybe could do two or three things. and then the next day two or three. But it only takes about maybe 10 minutes at most. Then you can pray other stuff. But you can also take some of this and pray it for your family. Pray it for you individually. But it's quoting word. And look, I'm going to just go over with you. This is how I do it. And I've been praying this. I'll just come and I say, Lord, first I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for who you are. You're the great God, Jehovah. You are great, Lord. Thank you. And Father, I'm coming before you this morning or this afternoon or whatever it is. And I'll just read and say, Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus on behalf of our pastors. And I'll say myself, Jelaine, and as well as our family. Father, we have said yes to the call upon our lives to begin a work in Gaydon, a work called Gaydon International Church. Father, we thank you that our pastors have been faithful. Thank you, Lord, in a few things. And in your timing, you will cause them to be rulers over many things. That's in Matthew 25. And you might want to look up these scriptures. It's good. Then I'll start. Father, I thank you that you have surrounded Jelaine and I with men and women who are able to confide in, to obtain godly counsel from. We ask in addition that you would send our pastors, men and women, who you also want to be part of their team and call to them, that all would walk in unity with our pastors. We all, Psalms 133:1. We also ask that you would fill our pastors as well as these men and women daily with the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And you can pray that for yourself too. Say, Lord, I just claim, Lord, I thank you that I'm full of the Spirit of the Lord. I'm full of the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, Lord, just those things. And then you can, it's front and back page, whatever it is. And then you can turn it over, and this is the last part, and it says this, the third paragraph at the end. Father, we thank you that our pastors shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of our pastors, and as your elect, they shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Our pastors, Joseph and Jelaine, shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. It shall come to pass that before they call, you will answer, and while they are yet speaking, you will hear. Father, we thank you that they will do exceedingly abundantly above all that our pastors can ask or think. Father, we thank you for it. We praise you for it. And we'll be careful to give you all the glory for it in Jesus' name. And that's just reading it out. But, we need your prayers, people. I tell you, we need your prayers. And I thank you for daily calling out our names, Jelaine and I, before the throne room of the Father and asking him to move upon us, to help us, to make right decisions, to do what is right, to go in the direction that we need to go in. You see, the Father said, seek me, and what? You shall find me. Good job. Seek me, and you shall find me. Seek him, and you shall find him. That's it. So I thank you for your graciousness. I thank you for your willingness. Don't feel, and I'm going to tell you this, because I know it's gonna be a little out of routine sometimes. And at the end of the night, you're going to close your eyes and go, oh, man, I didn't pray that prayer. Don't feel condemned. That's what the devil will do. He'll try to condemn you. Now, if the Lord convicts you, that's totally different. Okay? But the next day, start it and say, Lord, I'm sorry, but Lord, meet these needs and quote these scriptures and let God move upon the situation. You see, as you pray for me and Jelaine, you will have fire in the pulpit. And I'm not talking about it physical, but you know. It says that when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, that cloves of fire were upon their heads. That's the deal. When the people pray and the man of God or the woman of God seeks the Lord, there will be fire in the pulpit. And that's what we want. We want fire in the pulpit where the glory of God comes down and we are touched by the Spirit of Almighty God. We don't want to come to church and not change. We don't want to come to church and not feel the presence of Almighty God. We want the Word of God. We want to feel the Spirit of God. And I want to thank you for your willingness to do this. I appreciate it, okay? Amen. You may stand, please.